Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode here on Gym Class All-Stars, as we will be talking about something a little different than what we're used to, as we typically only talk about sports. So today, we're going to take the time to talk about anything else and everything else. So thank you for joining us here on the second episode of this week here. We're excited to give you this and give you a little origin about both Alex and myself and how we came to be, how this podcast came to be, and just about everything else in between. So got some drinks poured here. We're gonna have a drinking game to go along with this as we progress here. First, for starters, Alex, how you doing? Not talking about sports today. How you feeling?
Horrible. I love sports. No, I'm feeling good. I have a little bit of a drink that was given to me as a graduation gift. It's called Mount Gay. It's not a nickname either. It's literally called Mount Gay. It's a rum from Barbados. Apparently, it's pretty good. I will probably hate it until the third or fourth drink, but we'll get through that.
Well, I'll cheers to you through the camera.
Right, cheers.
Bottoms LA.
For a second, I thought you were just going to rip a shot of that. And I'm like, wow.
I thought about bringing a shot glass separate from my drinking glass just in case, but we don't need to go quite that hard. At least not yet. Let's see how the episode goes on here.
We're a little old for that, I think. I think we're past our primes.
Both our birthdays were just a few days ago, but I was ripping shots, man. People kept buying them for me, and I didn't really have a say in the matter because it's free alcohol. So
just a quick segue. At a bar, people were buying me shots as well. Why does everyone prefer tequila? Like, just why?
I don't know. What the hell? I had to take 5 minutes. I had to do the tequila shot in two separate parts. It's rough, man.
I mean, I can do them, but I hate vodka, so I guess that leaves rum or whiskey. I guess whiskey isn't a great shot, or people hate Fireball because they've thrown it up at some point. But I tequila to me just bothers me, even though it's supposed to be the best alcohol for you, quote unquote. No alcohol is good for you, but God,
glass a day keeps the doctor away.
It's supposed to be an upper, though, is what they say, and I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, that's fair. You want to hear the order in which these shots came for me, though?
Good.
Vodka.
Okay.
Tequila.
Awful.
Cherry bomb. Rum. Or whiskey, I think.
There was one night. This is 2019, November. It's Thanksgiving weekend when all my friends came back to Lehigh Valley. We went to this bar, and it was a Friday night. And we went there at 9 o'clock. And apparently from 9 to 12 there, it's happy hour for whatever reason. So drinks were half off. So we just decided to get a bunch of different bombs, whether it's Irish car bombs. And my friend TJ, we gave him a ton of them. We gave him three cherry bombs and just Irish car bombs and all that. So bombs are a lot of fun, but they do a lot of damage, to say the least.
That's why they're called a bomb, man. There's a large explosion that happens somewhere in that process. All right, so we got plenty of drinking stories for you packed into this. Don't you guys worry. But we want to start with our humble upbringings and how we met as friends. And to assume that this was going to be a completely sportsless episode was also, sensational if you actually believe that. But so believe it or not, we actually met at the freshman high school basketball tryouts. We were introduced a little bit later from a mutual friend that. It's a fantastic story. You told it a little better than myself, if you want to take it away here.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you there's a small detail there. So ninth period, which was the last period in our day in high school, you had geometry. And there's this girl in my geometry class that I had a crush on. And I remember I was walking to her locker and, talking, being as the awkward, 14 years old? Yeah, being my awkward self as usual. And I'm walking there. And we have another mutual friend whose name is also Alex. And he runs up to me, grabbing Robbie's arm. And I've never seen Robbie in my life. I'd only heard about him maybe through whispers, through my other friends talking about him. And he goes, Baker. I'm like, what? I'm annoyed because I'm trying to talk to this girl. And he goes, this is Bob Joe. And I'm like, oh, okay. And Robbie's just like uncomfortable. He's like, what is going on? Why am I here? Clearly, this person that I'm talking to is doesn't care for obvious reasons. I have a little 5'2" person strapped to my arm, bringing me over here. He just has the strength of a elephant apparently. And yeah, so that was my first introduction to quote unquote Bob Joe. The reason why he was introduced to me as such Robbie's name, obviously, Robbie, Robert, Bob. And then his Spanish name is Pedro, which the English translation is Joe. So our friend Alex, who very quick-witted, clearly, Bob Joe was born. And that was the first time I met Robbie. And then Robbie and I were both trying out for the freshman basketball team. So I'm sorry, we have to bring sports in a bit. And I remember seeing him because, you know, Robbie's a little bit hard to miss. He got the beautiful, luscious locks, the nice fro. Love it. And I remember seeing him and I'm like, hey, are you Bob Joe? And he kind of laughs. He's like, yeah, that's me. I'm like, hey, like we met before. I just wanted to introduce myself again. I'm Alex. I'm other Alex's friends. And we're like, I'm Robbie. And we kind of hit it off there. We used to go to these open gyms. I think they were twice a week. And they were actually awful looking back on them. We voluntarily signed up to get our ass kicked with conditioning, yeah. Weightlifting. And then we play for like 20 minutes. And then they just yelled at us to get off the court. Because it was... You were in better shape than I was because you did cross country.
That's right.
My entire life played basketball, so I was in decent shape. But we used to, the freshman coach was just huge into conditioning. Remember we would do like Indian runs. We would do suicides. We'd do that drill where it was like four people on a court and you'd have to run, bounce it off the backboard and sprint down the other court and do the same thing without the ball touching the ground. And you did that for 45 minutes straight of running. Well, his coach is on the other side who looks like he's morbidly obese and you just hate everything. So you're dead after that. And then we have to go weightlift. And I don't know whoever's listening to this. I'm 175 pounds. I'm 6'2". And trust me, I didn't even weigh that much when I was in ninth grade. I was probably 5'11", 6', and probably weighed 150. So I'm pretty frail as a person. Robbie's shorter than I am. Maybe a little bit stronger pound for pound, but we used to have to weightlift. And then that's kind of where another good story comes into play. We used to weightlift. We used to bench press. I remember they used to have, we had to do, I think it was 10 or 15 reps of a certain weight. So Robbie and I were partners and we would do, I think it was like 85, 95 or something like that.
It was like just under 100.
And I remember I did mine. I struggled to get through, but I did it. And Robbie's pounding out these 85s or 95s, like going rapid speed. And I'm like, my ego is a little bit in check here. I'm like, this kid is destroying me. So I start singing, come on, come on, come on, rock that body. And Robbie starts laughing while weightlifting. And as you probably can tell, it's very dangerous. And I also start laughing because, you know, Robbie's laughter is contagious. And the barbell started to drop on Robbie. Luckily, Robbie was strong enough to keep it off his neck. And eventually I came to help. So crisis averted there, but that was one of the few times I was a bad friend to Robbie. But at that point, we were still like, we're still feeling it out, you know?
I'll say we can get through that. We can get through just about anything. And that kind of, you know, that resonated, that moment. He saved my life despite being the one to put it in peril. It was a beautiful moment for our friendship. I don't know if you actually remember this, but during those like actual games that we got to play at the end, you know, 20 minutes or whatever, there was one time I actually did anything useful and I hit like one stupid like reverse game winning layup. I'm pretty positive you're the one who A, got the rebound and B, passed it to me to win that game. So, you know, might've been in the stars, man. I don't like to say fate controls everything, but.
Sounds about right. In terms of me not wanting to take a final shot or just want to play in the post and pass to you 100%. I'll never forget though. Do you remember this kid named Tyler Madeira?
I do.
I will never forget one of those games. I had to guard him and he was shorter than I was, but super fast. Like I think ended up playing like Division II soccer. And I remember the entire game, he was like torching me, like sprinting by me. And I couldn't stop him. Toward the end, he ran in. And I remember I was like sick and tired of getting blown by. So I was like, screw it. I'm gonna take a charge. I did. He tried to hop step around me and he tripped over my leg. And like, I don't know what he ended up doing to it, but he got injured and couldn't actually try out for the team. So
for your roster spot, maybe.
Yeah. Even though I don't think he would have made the team regardless. That's no offense to him. Just we'll get to this. Cause then we did this for a few months and then we have our tryouts and I owe Robbie a debt of gratitude. Because I can tell my kids that I was not in the first round of cuts. Because Robbie, unfortunately, was the only one cut in the first round.
there are four others. I was just the only one who bothered showing up to the tryout in the first place.
Fair enough. Robbie, unfortunately, was cut due to his grades or academic standing, of course.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But so thank you for that. I also did not make the team because I will never forget being told by the coach. He said, "You're a great defender, but for your height, you should be a point guard." And I'm like, excuse me, I've never dribbled a basketball in my life. Because at that point, I played like power forward pretty exclusively. But granted, if I wanted to play on that team, I needed to be a point guard because of how tall everyone was. There were, I think in our class, there were five seniors. Four of them went to play Division I or Division III sports. One of them was Division I basketball player. Two of them were Division I football players. And the other one was a D3 basketball player. So quite good. They were all taller than me. And then after that, Robbie transitioned to track, and I did track freshman year, and then I ended up going to play volleyball. I'm actually repping my old volleyball jersey right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, found our passions. We all found things we're good at, which was nice. And
I think we're each a little better at those two respective sports than we were at basketball.
Oh, definitely, because we actually made the teams. And granted, track's no cut, but you were also quite good enough. For us, it works like there's conference.
Saquon, baby.
Yeah, there's conferences, districts, and then states. Mm-hmm. You didn't win districts, but you went to states, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
or you competed in districts.
I competed in districts. The event I could have actually made it to state, and I got hurt the one time I got to run in it. And I only got to run the second day. Me getting hurt is going to also be a thing that we come back to more and more as this episode goes on.
So did you compete at states then?
No. Oh, I competed at states in the 4x1, but we never really, like, we only qualified because a team dropped out.
Yeah.
And then we finished we finished fourth or fifth in our heat, but the entire heat ahead of us, I think every team finished faster than every team in our heat.
It happens. At least you got to states.
I did get to states, and I passed somebody, and I was the anchor, which
the anchors
for anyone who doesn't know, it's scary. You got to come off the last turn and then finish the race out. The thankful thing for me is that my build-up speed wasn't very good, but my top speed was faster than most. So like as soon as I got the baton, I was already pretty much sped up, and I just had to go. Yeah. So it was actually it was very fun, and especially being like, you feel a little bit more important because you're the last one to run. And I'm not trying to brag or anything, but it was nice. It was really cool.
So yeah, that's a little about us in terms of sports. So I know we talked a little bit, like academics kind of mentioned Robbie's whole deal. And that wasn't to make fun of you, of course. It's just more, I think the story is a really good lesson just for everyone. So if you want to talk about that, you're more than welcome to, because if I'm not mistaken, you had pretty low GPA freshman year.
It wasn't high by any standards.
No.
It was a 1.3 was the first GPA, or I think it was the second report card was 1.3. That was the lowest point it ever got to. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Wasn't very pretty. And people who know me, you know, I'm not the most intelligent, but also I do play off being a little more dumb than I really am. So like, it wasn't that I was struggling in the classes themselves outside of science. Thank you, Mr. Gary Laub. But it was the fact that I wasn't doing my homework, like any of my homework. My B's would drop to D's, my C's to F's. I didn't care. I had no desire to actually do any of the schoolwork. It took until halfway through sophomore year for the school to actually like contact my parents and be like, "Hey, your son is a 39% in history class. Like, what's going on? Like, is there an issue here? Is there a reason why he's doing so poorly?" And to be honest, I still didn't really care, but I understood. I realized how important that this really was. Like, I finally realized that there is a consequence to just like not doing important things like school. And I was able to turn it around, got myself into a university. I think by the end, my end GPA was obviously lower than it should be. But like by the end, the GPA I was getting was like 3.3, 3.1, 3.2. So like pretty good. Nothing sensational, but I did all right. And like the moral of this really being like, you can't push off responsibility, even if you don't see the value in it yourself, because you have to kind of trust that the things being put in front of you are there for a reason, and they're stepping stones to something else, to something better. And even if you can't see it, sometimes you just have to kind of walk that path and get yourself to where you're being told you need to be.
Yeah. And I think there's a few key stories that I have based, like, cause we were friends in freshman year, but it was like, we didn't see each other much. Robbie actually was in a lot more honors classes than I was. Robbie was an all honors student, and mostly, if I'm not mistaken, it was because your other siblings were on all honors. So they were like,
legacy, you know, baby.
Legacy. So I didn't see Robbie. And then I'll never forget, I took like the way our high school worked, it was honors English. And then there was GHP, which is gifted high potential. And then there was like college prep. And there are a few, like, for people who really struggle with it, there are a few levels underneath. So Robbie was in honors and then dropped down to GHP because he wasn't doing too well. I'll never forget sitting in my GHP class. I walk in, Robbie's just there. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm in your class now. And I'm like, wait, really? And it was a pretty fun time. Definitely a hard class for GHP, though.
A hard class, but that was a stacked class, too. There were some characters in that class.
There were definitely a few people. Do you remember at the end of the year, like every English class we had in high school, we had to read a Shakespeare book. And ours freshman year was Julius Caesar. And do you remember the speeches we had to give? We had to go up against another person. I will never forget being so nervous for that. Just, I didn't want to forget anything. And I'm like shaking, kind of doing mine. And the kid I'm up against, so much better in terms of body language and confidence, but just knew fuck all in terms of speech. And I won the popular vote. It was,
hell yes.
It was hilarious.
I remember that project. I don't remember who I went against, but I do remember winning because for whatever reason, I'm not scared about public speaking, just despite hating everything else around the idea of public speaking. And I won, and I remember, like, nobody even knows who I am. What did I do here?
My whole thing of public speaking, I'm a much better public speaker now than I was, and I think that shows from the fact we do one of these weekly and can just ramble on for an hour, hour and a half. But I think my big thing was freshman year, I was not as confident as I am now, and that's, you know, 8 years ago. But on top of that, just having either a memorization type deal, because those passages were long. I still remember a little bit of it, but like they were quite long. And then on top of that, just if you ever had a presentation where you have like a time restraint and you're just trying to run through it, like you have that in the back of your head.
You had to do it in like 2 minutes or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I remember like my engineering classes, we used to have to do these like 10 slide presentations, like 5 minutes. You're just trying to rush through them and you're just like shaking out of nervousness. And you have people critiquing you that go like, you went a little too fast. And you're like, well, I don't have a choice. I don't think you understand.
They're really putting pressure on these young kids here, and we didn't love it. I want to stay in that class for a second, though, because I know you know this story, and I have to tell this story about that class. So to anybody listening, if you know like those parenting classes you used to have to take in high school, you already know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
so like you'd be given a baby and you have to take care of it, you have to walk it around school, take it home, all that fun shit. So it's like very comical. A classmate of ours named Stevens. He had a baby, and he was. I'm pretty sure it was the only one in our class.
He had to take care of this baby for babysitting, like the babysitting class. It was like
a plastic baby, not a real baby.
Not a real baby.
And so he brings in. He's been talking about it all day. He and the teacher have a very good relationship. They yell at each other back and forth all the time.
Great time.
And so at some point during the class, Stevens gets up and goes to the bathroom, but he leaves his baby. He like doesn't even think about it. He just left the baby there. So our teacher sees this and she goes, everybody just like, wait. She takes the baby like out of the, or like takes the whole thing, like the harness and everything, and puts it in like her closet or whatever. And so Stevens gets back. He realizes his baby is gone. He just looks up and he screams, Dwayne!
He named his baby Dwayne. And I will never forget. We're all sitting there just trying not to laugh. It was just the baby, because he looked down in the little carriage thing and he like looked down, looked up, looked down again, looked up and just screamed, Dwayne, this voice crack. And everyone just lost it. That is a great story. I completely forgot about that. But that was, I was in stitches when that happened. And
that shit killed me.
He's like looking around. He's like, Mrs. Tappy, I know you have my baby. And she's like, Stevens, I don't know what you're talking about. You just abandoned your child.
It happens.
What? And then, you know, eventually got returned, all that. I'm sure Stevens probably got a lesser grade in that class, because I'm sure that baby didn't return the best of shape, because it was put in a closet. Mrs.
Tapia was prepping him for real life scenarios. If you leave your baby will disappear.
Yeah, don't leave your baby unattended.
Especially in a high school.
But yeah, going back to that, the whole story about Robbie's GPA and all that, I will never forget. So yeah, Robbie struggled his first 2 years. And then after that really started to kind of find his footing, do well in classes. I remember summer before senior year, we played basketball at our local park. And I remember I was asking about colleges because, you know, that's what every 17-year-old has to talk about because it's like the new exciting thing in your life. And I was like, yeah, where are you thinking about going to college? And you're like, I don't know. I think my grades aren't that good. So I'm going to have to go like a junior college or something like that, which looking back on it should have been the funniest thing I ever heard because it sounds like you're an athlete. I'm going to JUCO, boys. But I remember being so happy for you when you got – I don't know if you got to Kutztown, but I remember you got into Fairleigh Dickinson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. That was the first real school I got into.
And then you got into Iowa, University of Iowa. And I remember being so stoked because I knew you really wanted to go there. They have a great creative writing program, which is what Robbie wanted to do at the time. And yeah, I remember being absolutely stoked for you and glad you didn't have to go to a junior college because I had no idea what that meant until like the next year when every athlete who wasn't good enough to get a scholarship or grades were bad would go to junior college.
One D3 for Lax, bro. Okay. I'm going to take the reins here for just a second. I'll try and get through this story quickly. But so my like high school experience was weird. It very oddly paralleled this, like this basketball game I once played. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm talking about sports again. But so there was this one like it was at a camp. So it wasn't anything like major, but you get split into teams, you run games every day. It eventually leads to the playoff, like a playoff at the end of the week to try and, you know, be the team that wins the championship. My team got in the first playoff game. We were losing our first game going into the last quarter. We ended up winning. Second game, losing by the same amount of points going into the last quarter. We ended up winning on a buzzer beater that I hit that I didn't even realize was a buzzer beater at the time. We moved on to the championship game, and this was like the strangest thing. We were down by 14 points going into the last quarter, and let me tell you, we played the most perfect fourth quarter ever. Like, fouled all the right people, created turnovers, caused general chaos, scored all our points. I ended up going to the free throw line as time expired. Pressure mounting, as you know me. I was a terrible free throw shooter. Earlier in that week, I went like 1 of 10. I ended up missing the first one, making the second one, and then my team ended up going on to win in overtime. And it really oddly paralleled like my high school career. Like first few games were down, like first few years of high school, I didn't do very well. I didn't seem like I was trying very hard. I just kind of scraped by. You get to the point where it really starts to matter, like a championship or like your last few years of high school, you start to buckle down, you really put in the work and the results kind of form themselves. And it was really weird that just kind of worked. I thought getting to the college was a free throw, getting to the free throw line. It was. I'm not in college anymore. Maybe that's the first miss. It was just really cool that I had like this game that so oddly made sense to the rest of my life. It was this really cool thing that I kind of keep following. You know, the thing I always keep telling myself is eventually I'm going to make that last free throw.
All right. Well, we'll take a little break from stories. We got a ton of them. But I think what everyone's been waiting for, at least what Robbie's really been hyping up to all his friends, or do a little bit of truth or drink. We'll get into a little bit of mindsets. I have a few prepared. Robbie's got a few. He's going to hopefully right off the top of his head. If not, well, then Robbie will just keep drinking, which I think he's okay with. So let me pull up my list of questions. Here's the first question I found online. And I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. If someone offered you $1 million to never speak to me again, would you take it?
Like to never speak to you again?
To me, just to me. To me, never again. Like not contact, not tweet at, like nothing. Nothing in terms of communication.
No, I wouldn't take it.
You should have just dragged. It's a filthy lie.
I don't know if it's a lie and I'll drink just in case it truly is a lie, but I would like to believe that our friendship is stronger than $1 million.
I know, but $1 million is so nice.
It's a lot of money, man.
That was my problem. I saw it. I'm like, you know, I would love to keep speaking with Robbie, but also $1 million.
$1 million? Well, okay. I guess to start, I would have thrown that question back on you, but it sounds like you would have picked $1 million. So,
but like also no, because I don't know. I need
what if like we can only do the podcast, but we each get half?
Oh, in a heartbeat, I would do that.
Easy.
Yeah, because then we could like dick around afterwards. Easily.
Perfect. All right. We're gonna break truth or drink right off the bat.
All right. Who's hotter? Me or you?
Man.
Just drink. It's fine.
Just gonna drink.
Just drink.
Thankfully, nobody gets to see this to decide for you.
Here's what I will say, and we'll also get into this story a little later. Robbie and I are both in a male beauty pageant. Senior year of high school, it probably would be you based off your charisma and my acne-ridden face. But now with my 6'2", 6'5" wingspan and my
belly,
my beautiful European shoulders, I think you gotta lean toward me. But
we'll do the swimsuit competition again. We'll do that over and we'll let our friends decide.
Yeah, I don't look like I've watched that every now and again. It is incredible how skinny I look. I was so stressed out because that was right before would have been February. We'll get to this later, but February was all my applications were in for colleges, hadn't heard anything. Unbelievably stressed out with schoolwork too. Just a mess.
Yeah, I remember that. No, I'm excited to talk about Mr. Parkland. But to all my friends watching, we will be watching Mr. Parkland and getting drunk during it before I leave Iowa City. Don't you dare worry.
Yeah, make sure you watch mine or a mic cuts out.
Oh, of course, of course.
Of course.
The best part.
I know.
I'm the best part.
Okay. We'll get to that. All right. Here's a question that this is the one I wanted a response from, but I wasn't sure. I don't think it's going to be a good, like a juicy answer. Has there ever been someone that I have been like romantically linked to? So not necessarily dating, but like kind of like seeing or talking to, and this, we'll say high school for this, because you don't know anyone I saw in college, that you also had a crush on?
Ooh, that is a good question.
It is. I don't know how good of a response is going to elicit, but
I got to think about this because I also got to remember who you had crushes on, because that's
there were a few.
Well, okay. I don't know if you were one of the people, but I do remember that a large portion of our friend group had a crush on Matilda for a long time.
I don't
know if that was for you, but I definitely had a crush on her, and like a few other people definitely did. I don't know if there was anybody. I mean, like, look, there were definitely girls that like I thought were pretty, but you were more popular than I was, so you talked to a different class of people. And so I, you know, you and Ms. Morelli were very close. I don't think I ever spoke a word to her in high school in my life. So I'll draw the line there, but it's definitely possible, considering, you know, all my friends now, I have crushes on everybody that walks through the fucking door at our store. So
yeah, I think, yeah, probably at some point, you know, Matilda was very pretty. Trying to think.
Anushka.
That's our cutting that. Moving on. That's the end of that conversation. I forgot about that. We'll move past that. That's a mess in itself. All right.
Oh, I'm so proud of that.
I will say though, the fact you said I was more popular than you, like, also like bothers me, because I did not think of myself as popular in high school. I just thought I was liked. And like it's like you have a puppy. You're like, oh, this puppy's cute. But also I wouldn't bring it anywhere. Like, it's just nice to look at. That was kind of me, except I had acne and was, you know, horribly socially awkward.
We were in that nice middle ground.
Yeah.
You were a little, you know, closer to quote the top than I was, but we had friends in both groups, but we definitely, I wouldn't say either of us were the most popular kids in school.
Oh God, no. I think there were a lot of social circles I fell into, whether it was through sports or, you know, our friend group, I absolutely loved. And those are the people I gravitated to the most. And I think anyone looking at them outside of here would call them like the nerds, but they were the people I loved the most because they were the realest. They were people who genuinely liked me. The whole, like, all the memes, all the jokes. I mean, you remember in the morning, there was like 20 or 30 of us would sit outside like the hallways and just like joke around, and it was just constant shenanigans. Yeah. And people would just look at us like, what the hell is going on over there? But it was just, it was controlled chaos, and that was the best part about it. Like, everyone knew our little area and they're like, what the hell is wrong with these kids? But they're some of my best friends, some of the people I still hang out with when I'm at home.
Walking past us in the hallways was a mission for most other people.
Let me keep going with these questions.
Yeah, let's keep running some of these.
If you could swap one physical feature with me, what would that be?
Fit up.
I think there's an easy one.
I'm going to take your wingspan and be the best basketball player I can be.
You should. Why not height? Like, you could be 6'2 and dribble.
Yeah, that's fair. But I feel like if I got your wingspan, I'm gonna be really like freaky looking because I'm gonna go down all the way to my legs.
You're gonna look like a pterodactyl.
Like if you create a player in like 2K or something and you like put their wingspan at max, but then you make them 5'6", that's what I'd look like.
What is the most annoying thing about me? Oh, he's gonna say it. Oh, he's gonna drink. All right.
I'm gonna drink. Your face.
Shoot. God, I knew it was that. Huh.
I'm trying to think of some for myself, but we're gonna come back to my questions that I have for you at the end of this.
Oh, God. So, should we segue into, like, our other topics, like, either more stories or romance or anything like that?
I think so. We can take a little break from the drinking game. If anybody just wants to join us in drinking, we are pretty much drinking after every single story anyway. So, feel free to join in that. What do we want to go to? Should we tell them about Mr. Parkland or should we tell them about Daryl Crawford first?
Let's go with our history teacher, and then we'll segue into Mr. Parkman's, and it's a bigger story. 100%. So, Robbie and I, there were a few classes we had in high school together. Junior year, we had world history with our teacher, who, honestly, looking back on, was kind of scary. Good guy.
A terrifying man.
Just well-disciplined dude, kind of one of those guys you thought was gonna, like, he was very calm, but like you also thought he was gonna snap, and definitely learned a lot in that class. But yeah, Robbie and I were in that class together. Good, enjoyable time. If you've heard the other podcast, there was a very popular girl in our class, like one of the most popular pretty girls in the school, and
this is my favorite story.
I'll tell it. So she was in her class, and then like halfway through the year, we switched seats. And I think we had to pick our seats. And you picked, like, I don't know where you sat, but you kind of sat away from me. And you're like, Baker, like, come sit over here. And there was an open seat in the back of the classroom behind this girl. And I'm like, friends, view. Friend view. And I picked the view because I was a very easily manipulated 17-year-old. Or no, I was 16 at the time. Would have been almost 7. No, yeah, I would have been almost 17.
Yeah, we turned 17 at the end of that year.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I need a drink to continue this story. But
it gets better, guys. Don't worry.
It gets funny because Robbie's opinion of me may be a little bit interesting. There's a lot of people I knew in the school and like could talk with them about whether it was like, you know, playing sports with them. I was very in tune with a bunch of different social circles, but I wouldn't say I was friends with a lot of them other than like our group of friends. So I was maybe liked by a lot more people than I probably should have. But this girl was like probably way out of my league and also like way out of my popularity charts. I'll never forget though. There was one day I was like talking to her before class and I was just, I think I've honed my craft of being able to make people laugh a lot better. At this point, I definitely was not confident in my ability to make people laugh. But this girl was laughing at my jokes and like kind of like touching my arm. And even as a dumb 16-year-old, I'm kind of like, I think this girl likes me. And nothing made sense. Like nothing worked out. And I'll never forget in class the one day, I like made her laugh. And I was like, Robbie, like, I think this girl likes me. He's like, just kind of chuckle. He's like, there's no way. Like, she's out of your league. And I, as any normal person should have said, like, you were 100% correct. But I'm like, okay, you know, next class, just observe. And he's like, okay, fine. I remember next class, our teacher is asking for discussion. We're talking. And I decided to be bold and answer the question, but also crack a joke with it. So I make my terrible joke and no one laughs except the girl in front of me. And she like, not just like chuckles, it was like cackling laughing. And I just deadpan look over at Robbie and he's like, ah, okay. And kind of slowly understands. how this story ends is kind of bare bones. It's become more of a joke within my friend group rather than anything. But I remember she gave me her number and wrote, her name was Alex as well, and put a smiley face next to it. And I'm like, this is like, I'm doing great here. Like, I'm killing it. This is awesome.
Cloud nine.
And then I found out she had a boyfriend, like just started dating a boy. And my heart was crushed for probably a week. And then I was like, it's okay.
As were our listeners' hearts rooting for you.
Yeah. So if she's still out there and, you know, wants to grab drinks sometime, she's more than welcome to. I've definitely gotten taller and aged quite well, like a fine wine.
But if she's listening.
There's no way she's listening. Let's be honest. If she does, hey, do I still have her number?
God, I hope
I'm not. So. I'm not gonna call her or
I'm gonna segue this into another portion of this conversation. So this got became such a big inside joke in our friend circle. So one time, I don't remember if it was for a birthday or for something. Baker invited us over to his house, and it was a bunch of us. And we were like, "Hey, let's play a FIFA tournament." We were like, "Okay, let's set up a bracket. Let's put out, you know, everybody make a team name." And I shit you not, every single one of us made our team name something about him and this girl. Something with their two names intertwined. And his dad walks downstairs like 20 minutes in. He looks at the bracket. He goes, "Who's Borelli?"
Which happened to be your last name. And all my friends laughed. And I just stood there. My face was a bright red. What I will say, though, is I still have her number. I don't think I've ever texted. I texted her junior year of high school. So it's been 7 years. Yeah. But
I rekindled that flame.
No.
No more tests to cheat off of.
She's got more schooling ahead of her. She's got dental school, I think. But
good for her. Yeah, good.
Honestly, good for her. She's doing well for herself. Still very pretty. But, we went our own separate ways. Definitely mutual. Definitely she doesn't know that I thought like that.
Young love rarely lasts.
I think if you want, that's junior year. I think junior year is where I probably had my worst year of high school just because it was right before college. It was a tough year of school, really trying to find my footing in terms of who I was as a person. Senior year, that was a bit interesting. And if you don't mind, I'm going to brag a little bit before our Mr. Parkland stuff.
Please, brag it for me.
Our school had about 750 people in it. So very large,
per grade.
Yeah. Not even 3,000 total, like a lot of people. And I remember beginning of senior year, I got elected to be on our homecoming court, which felt like a really cool honor. And that was really cool. I got a chance to ride on the float during one of our football games and have the crowd cheer for me, clearly. No, it was for everyone. And definitely other people got a lot more cheers than I did. But that was a really cool honor, getting a chance to see like all my friends be like happy for me. And it was cool to have that level of respect that I like. Basically, we do rounds of voting. We go to homeroom, and I made it to the first round, the second round, the third round. I made it to the fourth round. I didn't win homecoming king, but believe me, I am more than happy with that. Just being, you know, part of like the top five like guys in the school, I guess, to be liked and respected that much. That was pretty cool. And then we had Mr. Parkland, which was something.
Sorry, before we get to Mr. Parkland, I need to backtrack real quick. We have one story we missed from Mr. Crawford's history class junior
year. Oh, I did miss this.
This is a big one. So this is world history. So we're learning about a bunch of different countries, all their cultures and traditions. And we're learning about, what was it?
It was probably World War II era. Because I remember, not to brag, I have a pretty good knowledge base on World War II. It's something that's very interesting to me. My great grandparents fought in the war, and something that's kind of, I've been told my entire life, and something I absolutely love and adore. So we're learning kind of about it, but also like other countries' involvement, not just the US. So it's something that's a little bit foreign to me.
Exactly. Seeing it from the other perspective. So what was the country that this originated from? Do you remember?
I think it was either China or Japan. It was an Asian country. I think it was China.
I want to say it was China also. That's what I thought. They have this concept called kowtowing, where when you're meeting a figure of respect or like honor, if you're the common person, you lay flat down, stomach on the ground, and you smash your head in the floor to show a sign of respect. So Alex here being the cocky high school student he doesn't want you cocky. To be that he was, says, Mr. Crawford, if I get, what was it, like a 97 or better
it was,
on this test, I will kowtow to you. And I believe what happened was you got a 95, but then you got a bonus question correct, or you got two bonus points or something. And the greatest thing ever happened. He literally kowtowed to our teacher. It was a beautiful moment for me as a witness of his life.
Like a lot of people, my whole deal is I like to lower my expectations to like just honestly unreasonably low, just so I can't get like hurt by it. So like that was the same with tests. I was that kid, unfortunately, who was like, I think I did awful on that test and would come out with like an 80 or 90 on it. And you obviously hated them because you did worse. So that test, I remember I generally thought I did bad. And Mr. Crawford's like talking about it. And you know, I was just like shooting the shit with him. And I'm like, Mr. Crawford, if I get 100 in this test, I will genuinely kowtow to you. And I got a 97. And he's like, by the way, one of the questions we're giving a bonus point because it's like it was a hard question. So he's like, LOL, here's your 100. And he puts his hand out. He's like, here's the floor. And I'm like, well, I said it. And yeah, I kowtowed to my history teacher. That's a pretty fun story. I learned after the fact, my brother is 2 years younger than me. Apparently that was a story he told to like other classes. That's yes. I live on in fame, I guess, not infamy. You're in that case.
Immortalized in world history for juniors in Parkland High School, so long as Daryl Crawford still teaches there.
Good guy. Great, great class. Great group of people in that class. So.
All right. Now we can move forward here. Had to get that one out.
No, fair point. And then, yeah, Mr. Parkland. So our school, to raise money for prom, we do prom and then we do post-prom, which is the idea. Like, instead of having kids, like, go drink and do whatever after prom, it's like sort of an all night thing where it's like, yeah, blow up stuff and karaoke. You can win prizes. So it's an incentive to like actually stay there and not make like bad decisions.
Drunk and have sex with each other.
Pretty much. Yeah. I didn't want to bluntly say it, but that's 100% what they were trying to get away. I know. So they have post prom, but it's cost a lot of money. So they obviously try and raise money. And one of the ways they do it is through this thing called Mr. Parkland. Basically, it's a male beauty pageant, raise money for it, and it's a good time. So I decided to try out for it, and Robbie did as well, and we both made it because we're absolute studs.
Fantastic, guys.
And it was – we started like early January, and it was, I think, right around Super Bowl weekend is when it ended, so probably a month of preparation. Mm-hmm. We had to learn how to do a bunch of different dances. Like I learned how to, I can hit a mean jazz score now because of Mr. Parkland. Mm-hmm. Horrible dancer beforehand. I think I'm a lot better because of it. But it was 13 guys, including myself and Robbie. We had to learn a bunch of different dance moves. And we did, there's like a normal dance. There was a swimsuit and there was a formal section.
So yeah, and then we had our two formal dances. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we did. Oh, right, we did one with our partner, escort, as they called it.
Escort, yes.
Make
it sound all fancy.
I think one thing I remember from that was they said, like, Mr. Greth, one of our teachers who did like the emceeing for it, was announcing, said we got 13 eligible bachelors looking for love tonight, and they're all single. And at that point, I think that was true, except for me, because I did have a girlfriend at the time. I was the one person.
I think you're the only one. Yeah,
I think I was, but I think I always find that pretty funny.
Wasn't your big crush somebody else's date?
Okay, yeah. So the girl we just talked about was another friend of mine's escort, as they called
it. Side note: that kid's last name was Silverstein, and he was not Jewish. I would like to make a formal complaint.
He was not. I'm pretty sure he was Jewish.
Was he? I don't think he was Jewish, but it, whatever.
I think he was. I mean, I played volleyball with him. Good. He's a good guy regardless. Yeah. Okay, I digress. For any of Robbie's friends listening, you can watch the entire thing because Robbie does have a DVD of it, as do I.
We will be watching it.
Yeah, they will. Robbie will make you watch it. That's just how Robbie used to get girls.
Oddly proud of this, yes. Hey, the poems really did it for him. Let me tell you. Okay. So the whole point of this is that like everybody has a talent and most people like they would sing or dance or something along those lines. But me, I'm not a very talented person when it comes to physical attributes. I am, however, a half decent writer. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to write two poems and I'm going to put pictures in. It's going to look all pretty. I'm going to pause for dramatic effect. It's going to be great. Again, I don't like bragging about myself. It's not something I do often, but Jesus Christ, the amount of people that were like, would come up to me and be like, oh my God, Robbie, those poems gave me goosebumps. Or like, oh my God, Robbie, how did you not just like drench every girl sitting there listening? I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, what is happening? Like, it's the first, like, they're pretty good poems. Don't get me wrong, but like,
they're good poems.
I don't know what that was, but I got like, I don't know, like 50 new Instagram followers after Mr. Parkland, most of which were like underclassmen girls. Three different people wanted to date me after Mr. Parkland. I ended up dating an ex for 4 days and then a completely different girl.
Because I remember that you came to my house and you're like, I have these three girls. Which one should I pick? And I went, not your ex. And you picked your ex. And yeah, I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, that's classic high school Robbie. That's just classic Robbie for
me. That's classic Robbie.
That was fun. She literally texted me like 4 days in and was like, I don't think this is going to work. I was like, you're the one who wanted to get back together in the first place.
So I think, so yeah, Robbie, maybe like in the moment, like thinking about it now, I was like, damn, Robbie's just reading poems. What kind of bullshit town is that? And I, to this day, do internalize that a little bit. But yeah, no, I'm also not a very talented person. Like, there are things I'm good at, but they're not like, wow, I'd love to have 1,000 people watch this on our stage, which is what the thing was. I decided to kind of leave my comfort zone. And I did, if anyone's ever seen Jimmy Fallon, and you know, you can have your opinions about it. I absolutely love the guy and his shows. He did this thing called History of Rap with Justin Timberlake. And I did the second one with a buddy of mine. His name is Jason. And we did like that as kind of a skit rap. And honestly, it was a good idea. I think the people who were like advising it, or teachers, really loved it. The problem was, and this is a big issue with our year, the microphone and audio quality just did not work. So the beginning of it, the idea was, I was like the dad, like the hip dad, trying to teach my son, who is Jason, about rap. And you can't hear the first 30 seconds because the mic quality is so shitty. So we had to switch out mics. Well, Jason had to switch out his because you couldn't hear him. They switched out his and they just boosted his mic. So you couldn't hear me. So my performance is like kind of just an absolute mess. I don't regret what I did because looking back on it, I really enjoyed it. And I think I did like, I don't like watching myself perform. Like I find it absolutely cringy. But I thought it was a good thing. I think people just really didn't go nuts for it because people probably didn't know the rap songs. I'm sure all the adults there were like in love with it. My dad was jamming out to it because he knew like 90% of the songs, but there are so little new songs because it was a history of rap that people were just like confused what the hell was going on. They just thought it was like me just jumping around and like probably on like it probably felt like I was on caffeine the entire time, just jumping around, jamming out. But I enjoyed that. I think the best thing I did that entire night was the formal section with my at the time girlfriend, where we did a little partner dance to Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon. And I got the crowd to swoon because she kissed me in the cheek and I was like, aw. Horrible. And carried her off the stage and everyone was like screaming their heads off. So that's a small victory.
That's a good one. I remember seeing that and I was like, this is fucking adorable. Y'all cute ass kids.
You probably don't remember this. Do you remember Brian who was like two ahead of me?
Oh, didn't he like take your thing or whatever?
So Emily and I, my ex-girlfriend, we like planned this out. We're like, oh yeah, I will like kiss in the cheek and I'll pick you up and walk you off the stage. And Brian goes, that's a good idea. And like, fireman carried his escort off the stage. Like he's two in front of me. So he does my move. And I'm like, no, this was supposed to be mine. It was stolen and thieved from me, but
terrible.
Honestly, looking back, it was like, I feel like it's like toddlers and tiaras with some of the bullshit that played out during that. Like some of the little drama.
The fucking one person's date smoking a joint in the bathroom 10 minutes before the show.
Let's actually segue to that quick. So this poor kid, their buddy Jake, who was in also a little bit awkward of a person, but one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And he asked this girl who he was friends with, do you remember Hannah?
Hannah. Who it was.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no. She and I used to go on like field trips to Jewish stuff.
Yeah. And he asked her, and she would have been absolutely charismatic, like escort. And she's like, no. And didn't give any other reason besides that. Just a flat out no. So he picked this other girl named Hannah who like was an absolute menace, like just did not give a shit and like was smoking weed like in the back studio, which was bizarre as any 17-year-old because we're like, what's going on? And then I'll never forget his talent was he did kind of a rendition of, anyone seen the SNL Jeopardy skits? They're really funny. Please watch them with Will Ferrell. He did a rendition of that with some of our teachers and it was really funny, really good job. And I told basically of the 13 people, there's a top five. And I told him like, Jake, like there's no way you don't get top five. Like your talent is hilarious. Cause I thought the entire judging was based off the talents. And I will never forget. They called up the five people and Robbie happened to be in the top five. Honestly,
you spoiled the big surprise.
Despite the fact he was reading a piece of paper, he did a good job with his,
we'll get to why in a second. I'll brag myself in just a second, but continue. Cause I know where you're going.
There were three other people who, there are two other people definitely deserve to be up there. I will not name drop. There was one person who was up there who I think was on the cusp and got in. And then I'll never forget the last person announced was an utter surprise to me. And I just remember my eyes got big and I'm walking back across the stage. And the first person I see is our friend Jake. I go, Jake, I'm so sorry you didn't make it. He goes, nah, it's no worries. I'm like, okay, he's handling this well. That was my internal monologue. And he goes, it's fine. I'm going to go home, take a nice hot bath and slip my wrist and just walked past me. And I was like, oh. The next person I saw, actually, I don't know if you remember this. After your talent, I came out and hugged you after you did a good job. I remember that because he was one of the last people. Robbie made the top five, well deservingly. Did you get fifth? I think you got fifth.
They didn't. So basically, what they did is they listed the top five, and then out of that top five, after you answered the question, they listed top three. So I don't technically know if I got fourth or fifth, but based off who the other person was and how much better his talent was than mine, he sang a Hozier song and like
it was quite good.
It was incredible.
It was very good.
So I just assume I got fifth in this situation. But so my talent was. The reason it did so well is because like it resonated with people, but like it wasn't super like talent filled.
It was also different though.
That's fair. And I think they like that.
Like mine.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say mine was like a medley of raps. Okay. You know, it's unique. It's different, but it's kind of been done before. There are two people who lip synced. There was one who did like Justin Bieber songs and one who did like Miley Cyrus songs.
That person won, right?
And the Miley Cyrus one got to the top five. So it was one of those, like, only one of these can make it kind of.
That's fair.
So Robbie's was definitely different. Enjoyed it.
The thing I think that really went well for me, though, is that, okay, I don't know where this came from, and I do believe that I can put it to better use than what I did, but my hips move very well. Like, I became obsessed with Shakira because I believe her and I are of the same breed, that our hips do not lie.
I don't think you and Shakira are the same breed, but we'll move past that.
That's fine. Believe what you want. anyway, like she, like I just, every time I had a chance, like you would be given like little moments in the dances to like be individual so the judges could judge you on what you did in that, like the tiny little bit, usually like 16 beats of spotlight or something. And I would usually be doing something that was moving my hips because if I like snapped my hip to a side, the crowd would go wild because that's just like the concept of what this was. And I did that a lot. I kept it working and I was very clearly charismatic in my dancing. And I think that's what actually, like coupled with the fact that I had like this different talent that seemed to hit on some level. But so the top five gets announced and I'm the first name they list. I don't know if that means I'm in first place at this point or not, or I'm just the first name that they put in, but I'm like the second they say my name, I'm freaking out. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I like half believe that I was going to be here. You come over, you give me a hug and I'm sitting here like, Jesus Christ. They're like, I have to go. Like, I don't have time to like process this. I am the first person that has to go out and now answer this question. And that question that they asked everyone was like, what did you learn from this Mr. Parkland experience? And I'm sitting there like, okay, this is relatively simple. I learned that, you know, all walks of life can come together and be friends and have a good time. But I was so caught up in the moment that like the thought in my head was like, football players can become friends with like cross country runners and like STEM people and all that shit. But all I kept saying, the only words coming out of my mouth were high school students can be friends with high school students. And like, I just kept saying that, like they can also be high school. Like I just kept saying high school students. And then I finally got off that and got to my point. But by that point I had very clearly blown my chance and I did not, unfortunately did not finish in the top three, but I still had a great time. I stand true to the fact that I had like that my answer still stands, despite I'll make it a little more clear that I believe that anybody can become friends if they, you know, put in the time, put in the effort. But unfortunately, that point was not very clearly given out by myself. And so it was a sad defeat, but it was one of the best nights of my life, to be completely honest. It was an absolute blast and people liked my poems. That was kind of tight.
I had a great time. I think Stevens, the guy we talked about with the baby earlier, he was also Mr. Parkland, and he was the person I thought was like going to win. And to this day, even though I don't think about it more than like once a year, I still think should have won. But I was talking to my dad afterwards, and going back to the whole thing with audio, Stevens is a very loose, confident person. And apparently when they asked him that question, Stevens was giving like a genuinely good answer, but you couldn't hear him because he's going like this with the microphone, like kind of like tossing it around. And my dad's like, yeah, I'm sure Stevens gave a very compelling answer, but I just could not hear him. So I think that's why he lost.
See, I'm most impressed because when I rewatched the video, I got to see Hawk is the name of the guy who did the Hozier song, who I actually did think was going to win. And like you hear, if you're like watching the video, you hear somebody scream. I'm actually pretty sure it was Sammy Alali scream, I love you, Hawk. And Hawk just like very casually just goes, I love you too, into the microphone. And it's this beautiful moment. I was like, how did he not win just off of that?
So that was that. And that was a pretty good, I don't know if it was an ending to high school, but it definitely was in February, but it was sort of like everything was winding down. Mm-hmm. Prom was about the next thing. And that was interesting. We saw each other at prom, don't get me wrong, but we were kind of in two different social circles. We were with different friends. Like I wouldn't say got dragged with my girlfriend at the time's group of friends. I think that's just kind of what happened. You were sort of the same way. Yeah. But we saw each other at prom. We hung out at post-prom. I remember that for a little bit.
Yeah, 100%.
We did, do we do the obstacle course or do you like the one where it's like the jousting? I think we did one of those.
I think we did the jousting because I think I raced someone. I think I raced that guy who stole your thing in Mr. Parkland. I think I raced Brian Grady in the obstacle course. Kicked his fucking ass.
Good.
I definitely did not win jousting, which is odd because when I did jousting in college, this is actually a great story. So I used to do the like event planning for my fraternity in college. And we did like a Greek Olympics or whatever each spring. And we have to enter somebody into the jousting competition. And I was like, fuck it. None of my frat brothers are answering my texts. I'm just going to do it. So I did it. I'm smaller than every other person there. But apparently if you just hit somebody with a plush stick hard enough, they will fall into a plush box of plush boxes. So I kept going for people's legs and they just weren't ready for it. So I kept winning. And then the best part of this is, so I was an AE Pi, the Jewish fraternity. And I played a guy from ZBT, which is typically known as the other Jewish.
The other, yes.
The Battle of the Jews is what I'm trying to get here. Unfortunately, I did not bring home the gold, but we still scored points for the event. We definitely didn't win all of Greek week. I don't really know how you do, to be completely honest, but it was fun. And the Battle of the Jews, that's really the crux of that story. But you brought up jousting, so it sparked that beautiful memory.
Prom was one of those things, looking back on, that I did also very much enjoy. Like I had a good time at prom. I mean, granted, it was nice, like sort of having a date secured and also like, you know, having a group of friends to hang out with. What's a good segue? I think, so I like to think this, this is definitely like retroactively thinking this. So I was in the homecoming court and my girlfriend at the time definitely didn't want me to be on the prom court because she wouldn't be on it. So I felt like an honorable, noble person to be like, I don't want to be voted on the prom court, even though I wasn't guaranteed to be on it anyway.
Right.
A lot of the same people were on it, but at the same time, like I didn't want to try and compete against everyone. And two, like I was more than happy to spend time with her. So Call me noble, call me all you want, but yeah.
I think this is a lovely segue into our romance portion of the conversation here. We wanted to hash out some of these lovely high school and college relationships that we've had, because we've had some great stories and we want to embarrass each other a little bit here. And that's par for the course. That's pretty much why we're doing this, because this has nothing to do with sports. This is the shit you really want to talk about.
The part where I just get red in the face and become more embarrassed and you just can't like understand what's going on. I think to start off, it would have been you'd junior year when you're dating the girl from the other school from Notre Dame.
Fiona.
Yeah. Fiona, yeah.
Oh, we were going to be a liberal with names. I apologize okay. if anybody listens and I piss you off.
No, this is not meant to disparage anyone. It's just kind of to put names to faces rather than that girl. It's more for our own sake.
I'll use everybody's Snapchat names.
Please don't. Because hers is like something like Mayhem and Music, isn't it? Or is that her Instagram?
That might be her Instagram.
I think it used to be. I don't think it definitely isn't now. If it is, it's cringy, but we'll move past that.
I'm glad you know more than me.
I just remember being like, that's weird. So yeah, Robbie dated a girl from a different high school, like a private school. Met through some mutual friends, and they dated for like 6 months. She went to like a Catholic high school.
Like, and I said to all of my friends, I refuse to date Jewish girls.
I will never forget this. So this is like, I would say probably your first like legitimate relationship. I mean, yeah. You had the girl, like there was the girl at Swain.
Yeah, but there was a girl in middle school, you know, everybody's famous
of course, yes.
relationships. And then I don't think I ever actually dated that Anushka girl that we mentioned previously in the show, but that was pretty much it at that point for me.
Yeah. So, oh God. All right. I will never, like, you guys were definitely, like, it was probably 6 months of dating. I remember you and I went to their, like, homecoming, and her dad, like, like, I met her dad for the first time, and I was just Robbie's friend, and what was it? He's like, my shirt wasn't tucked in. There was something he said to me, like, the first comment he ever said to me was some snide comment about the way I looked. I'm like, well, okay, nice to meet you, too. Anyway, though. Robbie and her dated for probably about 6 months. I think it was like what, August to like February. It definitely was like February.
I think it was like September to she broke up with me on Valentine's Day.
Okay. Because this is the digression here.
Oh yeah.
So Robbie was definitely like very, Robbie is a very passionate person, and that's definitely a good thing. And when she broke up with Robbie, Robbie's definitely crushed by it. And you know, that happens. I remember vividly, my mom was driving me to volleyball practice, and I told her, I'm like, hey, you know, like just to kind of keep conversation, cause like a 30-minute ride. I'm like, yeah, Robbie and Fiona broke up. And she's like, oh no, that's terrible. How's Robbie doing? I'm like, he's getting there, you know, take some time, but he's doing all right. It's like, oh, okay. You know, I feel for him. There's a pause. 5 seconds passed. And my mom goes, this is in February. She goes, do you think she gave him up for Lent? And I sat there stunned. I didn't even know how to react. And I didn't tell Robbie for probably about 2 years.
I was about to say, I think you told me like 2 years later. And he was like, you were like, I didn't know if you were going to take this well or not.
It's one of my favorite stories. My mom, like my entire family is very like witty. And that just to me is one of my like favorite moments. I love my mom to death. Like my mom is one of my favorite people in the world, obviously. But that to me just is such a great memory. And just, we were just laughing, but we felt so bad about it.
2 years ago, I lost, or 2 years after the fact, I lost.
Whenever you found out.
Had you told me like that just then, probably wouldn't have taken it.
No, well. Probably not. Robbie would have probably been very sad. And that's why I didn't tell him.
That is appreciated.
I think the other big one would go out to me. I used to get made fun of. I dated two girls whose names were both Emily Grace.
I forgot about that second part too.
So yeah, two girls, Emily Grace. And I, the first one after I did like that she broke up with me. That actually is a good story. Wait. So we dated for like a month. Like it honestly may not even been a month. And I remember I really didn't use my phone a lot when I was like a sophomore in high school. And I left my phone at home, and I had a volleyball game like later on that day. And I told my mom, like, hey, mom, if you come to the game tonight, can you just bring it? And she's like, yeah, sure, not a problem. So she did. And on the bus ride there, when I did my phone, my buddy Jason, who was good friends with her, was just like, he was like, oh no. He's like, bro. And like all this stuff is going on. And I'm like, yo, can I see it? And he's like, no. And we play our JV match because I'm in 10th grade at this point. And then I get my phone from my mom and I look and it's just a text from her like, hey, can we talk?
Ooh.
And to this day, I owe my buddy Jason a little bit of like a debt of gratitude because he told me after, I'm like, hey, like, you know, Emily broke out with me. And she's like, yeah, she told me. I just didn't want to tell you though because I know like you wanted to play well in the game and all that. So honestly, good foresight on his part. What I do remember though is some bullshit reason about like school, just, you know, one of those like trying to, you know, take you down, make sure you're not like upset.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite parts of that story is afterwards on the bus ride home. By the way, this is my first year playing volleyball. I'm a month in and like the seniors like barely know me. They just know me as like kind of the new kid. I remember this one kid, his name was Mitch. He's like, word got back to the back of the bus and Mitch stands up and he goes, Baker. I'm like, what? He's like, did you get broken up with today? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, give me your number. I'm giving her a piece of my mind. And I'm like, he's like, give me your number. I'm like, I mean, I can. And I gave them her number and they called her. And I feel a little bit bad about this because they're kind of like harassing her about like doing it. I think it was all in good fun. Nothing bad was said because we're all like in high school, but that was kind of funny looking back on it. And I also kind of appreciate that sort of camaraderie because, you know, they could have been like just bullying me relentlessly, but they were like, nah, let's stick up for them. And
help this kid.
No, they barely knew me too. Like I was pretty quiet. I was sort of the new kid in the block. And I don't know. That's kind of a fun one.
But before we leave this subject, I have to talk about this lovely movie that you two went to see at some point. Baker tells me this one day at school that he's going to see Captain America the Winter Soldier with his girlfriend. I was like, oh, yo, that's awesome. I love superheroes. Let me know how you like the movie. You know, I don't remember if it was over the weekend. It probably was next Monday or whatever. I asked, I was like, hey, man, what'd you think of the movie? He goes, yeah, I thought it was really good, except for the fact that I didn't, you know, get to watch the last 40 minutes. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then it processed in my head. And I was like, oh, well, congratulations. And then, as a good friend does, next year for his birthday,
two years later, long after they've
broken up, I go, Baker, I have the perfect birthday present for you. So you can finally see the entire movie. I bought him a copy of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Looking back on it, but the butterfly effect, if you believe in that, the idea that a butterfly flaps its wings somewhere, it could like prevent, I don't know, nuclear fallout. That's you know, very much overreacting to what butterfly effect is. But that movie, I watched it years later. I definitely would have liked Marvel movies a lot more because I did not give a shit about them because I thought everything was sort of separate. That movie ties a lot of things together. And, do I regret missing the last 40 minutes of it? No, especially as a 15-year-old, not really. You know, sometimes you just want to kiss a girl. That's all. We're 15. Come on, we're in a movie theater. Get your head out of the gutter. Get your head out of the gutter.
Put your head in the gutter. I think that's the point.
That's true. And yeah, so that kind of I love Marvel movies now. I love the MCU. Robbie definitely loves it more than I do.
I don't think you could be friends with me and not enjoy the MCU at this point.
God, no. But yeah, that to me is a funny story because it definitely affected my life a little bit in that regard in terms of my fandom. But I don't regret my actions. I thought it was worth it.
No, it's necessary risks, you know? That's good stuff. Wow, we got so many stories we could tell for this segment, don't we?
I mean...
I mean, we can always talk about my lovely Hadley, but we don't, you know, that was an ugly portion of my life.
Might as well. From my perspective, there's a girl Robbie dated in college. Name was Hadley.
Dated is a loose term.
Okay, was seeing, whatever. Hooking up with, whatever you want to call it.
Bearing ass.
And basically, Robbie had gotten out a relationship with another girl. And it would have been end of freshman year or sophomore year. No, it would have been sophomore year.
It was like halfway through sophomore year we broke up, and then this started happening a month later at a party.
So Robbie's seen this girl, and I remember Robbie came home because he was in Iowa constantly, and he came home for a week, and it's like myself, two of my good friends who Robbie's like reasonably good friends with, and obviously Robbie. And Robbie, we're like talking stories, telling college stories, you know, the whole chagrin. And Robbie starts talking about how, just describing excruciating detail what him and Hadley like have done and do. And just, that was probably that I hated Robbie the most. I didn't hate him. I just was like, okay, this is getting a little bit intolerable.
Let me put this into a little bit of perspective.
Yeah.
I was as you said, I'm a very passionate person. I care a lot about the people that I care about. And so I get very down in the dumps when I'm broken up with or rejected or all that fun stuff that we all love. And so I got very drunk at a party. This girl got very drunk at a party. This is actually a hilarious story. We both were blacked out at this point. We wake up next to each other the next morning, classic college stuff. I don't talk to this girl for a week. I have no way of communicating with her. My friends find her Instagram after like weeks of trying to stalk. But the big thing is this girl is just like ungodly attractive, like, probably I don't want to speak on that actually, but just very attractive. And so they were like, they're obsessed with the fact that their friend hooked up with an attractive person for the first time ever. So they're trying to find her. They find her. They're like, Robbie, add her on Snapchat. And after like 2 days of begging me, I finally add her on Snapchat. She adds me and she almost immediately like messages me. And I'm just like, ah, shit, what the hell is this going to be? It's a video of the morning after of her reaching into my wallet, pulling out my ID. And then the tagline just goes, oh, so this is who I had sex with last night. That was my real first impression of this girl. And I ended up just like kind of hooking up with her for the rest of the summer. And everybody hated me. Like, she was one of these people that like needed to be drunk. She made like obnoxious comments at things just because she thought they were funny. And to be honest, I was hooking up with an attractive girl, so I pretended like they were funny. And literally got to a point where one of my buddies was like, Robbie, I'm going to stop being friends with you if this girl's around still. And I was like, okay, this feels a little dramatic, but I do understand what you're saying. We are by no means together anymore. I actually saw her on Tinder the other day and then deleted my Tinder.
But good. Smart.
It was a good time. It was probably the most off the rails I've ever been because I also dropped out of college at that point. So that was just like a wild rush of emotions. But that was the most like spring break Robbie you're ever going to see.
It definitely was. Yeah. Robbie went from wanting to do like creative writing or like teaching English to I'm going to do student counseling. And I'm like, what the hell? But nothing wrong with that. That's not a diss at it. No. It was a complete 180. And then also on top of that, with the way he was like, I don't even want to fucking say what he was telling us, but just, we'll move past. It was
funny for me to get to brag about this, and thinking back, I feel like an absolute asshole.
Yes. That's probably about it. I didn't hate Robbie by any means. I just was like uncomfortable listening to some of the stories.
And then that's fair. They were uncomfortable stories. The worst, I will say this, and this is going to make everybody really uncomfortable really fast. But there was one time where it was just like her, I, a bunch of my roommates, a couple other friends just kind of hanging out. And I don't remember what the conversation was, but we got to talking about like beards. And this was before, like, I don't have the best beard, but I do have a more full beard than I did 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
This girl straight up says, his beard reminds me of my dad's. And I sat there and all my roommates looked at me and I, in my head, I just go, yep. So this is over.
This is over.
it was probably the scariest thing I've ever had to deal with in my entire life. Besides actually having a class with her 6 months after, that was worse.
Yeah. Wow.
Good stuff.
I guess. Yeah. Do you have anything I should mention? Like I have my stories, you know, some of the stories, anything I should talk about that you can think about top of your head?
I don't love name dropping, but the Laura Sorrentino escapades are just hilarious.
Oh my God. About. This girl that we went to high school with,
who is a character, if you will, man. She and Baker have had some close encounters over the last few years.
It's not what you're thinking either. This girl is just one of those people who like pops into my life probably every year or so, like for a week, and disappears without a trace. Basically, the gist is this girl, like, great human, like great person, but she's one of those people who just always needs like a boyfriend with her. And same way in high school, she had a long-term boyfriend, probably dated for like over a year. sophomore year of college, I am just walking home from a party with my buddy. And I just, these two girls are just drunk and yelling in the street. And the one girl happens to be this, like, they both happen to be girls from my high school. And they're like, do you know where such and such frat is? I'm like, no. She's like, I think it's at this address. I'm like, there's nothing going on. You can see the house right there. So basically I end up like trying to, get them either to a ride or like back to like the dorm I live in at this point, just so they're not in the middle of the street at night. Cause I live in a city. Eventually go back. And I remember, my contacts in the bathroom. I just look to my left and that girl, the girl Laura, is just next to me. And I'm like, I thought it was a ghost. And she's like, so we're not doing this here? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, go away. I'm just taking my contacts out. And that she's a handful to say the least. But basically what Robbie's getting at is like every now and again, she'll just pop back into my life and will message me. And just she's a lot to deal with.
Like once or twice during our time during making this podcast, you've come to me and you'd be like, so guess who I talked to recently or saw recently? And I'm just like, I know exactly who you're
like, guess who just texted me? Like during podcast, guess who just texted me? Yep. And I think luckily she is in a long-term relationship now. She seems to be doing very well for herself, and I'm very happy for her, like truthfully. I think one of the best parts, and this is not to disparage anyone, I don't care what you think about zodiac signs, but she's one of those girls that like really cares about them. And the one time she's like, so like, what's your zodiac sign? I'm like, I'm a Gemini. My birthday is in May. Fun fact. And she's like, ooh, I think she's a Scorpio or like Sagittarius. And I'm like, cool. She's like, that means we're compatible. I'm like, okay. Sure. Good to know.
A little crazy.
She's very, 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 very nice person. All right. I think that concludes for now all about our relationships and all that. At least
if you'd like to inquire more, we each require a bottle of alcohol. That is all.
And a lot more time to think about, to reflect on our past mistakes.
Bring back the trauma.
I think if you want to do some more truth or drink questions, you are more than welcome to. And then we can talk about like why this podcast actually exists.
Yeah. You want to send me some truth or drink questions? I did not think of any.
Oh my goodness, Robert. You're a mess.
I'm very sorry. I know.
Here you go. Take this link right here and scroll down to some and take a look. And if you can't find any, well, then use your big knowledge to figure it out.
I can do that. Oh, there's 400 here. Wow. I should figure these out. Let's go way down.
In the meantime, while Robbie finishes procrastinating on our one assignment for this episode, to any of Robbie's friends listening, look for some questions, but I also want to talk about like in high school, you kind of mentioned what you thought of me. And I sort of talked about what I thought of myself. I look back at my high school self. I was definitely liked by a lot of people, but I definitely was a little bit cringy in terms of my conversational skills. Definitely had a lot of acne, and that, just from a confidence perspective will kill you. Luckily, I'm all acne'd out, I guess. Like I don't have any acne on my face. Took some nice Accutane and got rid of it very, very well. So look beautiful, nice clean face. But Robbie, you sort of talked about how you thought you were maybe a little bit nerdy. I always thought you just were sort of that mysterious person who, like, if you talk to anyone, could really connect. I'm not saying you were popular by any means. I don't think any of us were.
No.
But I think you had the ability to communicate with people and really surprise people. I think people just never give you a chance. Like our high school is very clicky, like a lot of high schools are. That's not saying much, but you definitely got along with a lot of people and able to mesh a lot of different social circles, 100%.
Yeah, I don't know if I really, like, I had my, like, friends that I had throughout high school, but, like, in terms of, like, social circles, I don't think I really ever had the same one, like, year to year. I just kind of kept bouncing to them because I was like, oh, some of these people are kind of cool. Some of you kind of suck. And that's kind of what high school is, though. Now I have a bunch of friends that are awesome, and almost none of them suck.
Yeah, it's honestly great. And then I remember our massive 20 to 30 person social circle in, like, the hallway. remember there's a point where we would make like jokes and memes about each other, like in good lightheartedness. And one kid took it way too seriously. And we kind of like ousted him because we're like, kind of, we just want good vibes here and like not being toxic. It's stuff like that, where you just sort of, you get rid of toxic people in your life and it makes everything a lot better. Cause I remember that kid was like, actually, I would say bullying me, but like up there, it was kind of, he was pretty mean to me.
Best. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Robbie, have you properly done your assignment? Have you done your homework for once?
See, guys, it's not that I'm stupid. It's that I don't do my homework. Yes, I have finally completed my assignment, so I will not have to take the final.
All right, good.
All right, so this is a fun one. We're just going to go right into it here. Truth or drink, who would you hate to see naked?
I mean, like, are we just limiting this to people in our high school or like...
I was about to say someone the broad listener would know, but we're gonna have people listening from all over the place, so that's just about nobody. Let's stick to high school. Who would you hate to see naked from high school? Let's describe them in great detail.
Who would I hate to see naked? Oh boy. Our buddy TJ, probably.
That's a great answer. TJ is...
TJ looks good, but TJ would be the person to make it really awkward. He's like, so, you like what you see, huh?
That's a very fair...
One of my good friends, too, but...
He'd be talking to you the whole time.
He would. He would look you dead in the eyes like, boy, you got a problem with it, huh? He's that type of person.
All right. I'm going to retool this question right here because this is a dumb one, but I can work with it. What is one thing that you would never do on a first date?
I'm laughing way too hard at this. All right, I'm gonna segue this because I learned my lesson. So I would never ask if a girl is a feminist, and you're probably like why would you do that? That's a weird thing to say. When I was in high school, this is like 2015, the only thing I knew about feminism was this idea that it was like crazy people like burning bras and whatnot. Like that's what I saw on the news or like the internet told me. What I realize now, feminism is just men and women are equal. It's a great thing and we should all be a part of it. I am a feminist in that regard. Robbie is as well. Men and women are equal. Yes, they are. But I remember my first date with my girlfriend at the time, Emily, she was talking to each other. We're seeing The Martian. Movie hasn't started, we're just kind of chit chatting. And she goes, I'm a feminist. I'm like, oh, okay. And at that point, I was like, uh-oh, like, this isn't good. But I was like, so you're not like a crazy feminist, are you? And she's like, what do you mean by that? And I just stood there like, uh-oh, I've made a grave error in my statements. And I was like, you know, the ones who like burn bras. And she started like, she actually was the one who told me about like what the hell feminism is. And to this day, very grateful for that. So, just don't ask, I guess, about political views as well. Like, just kind of like ease in, like get to know the person, not just create drama, no matter what side you fall on. That's not my, just avoid politics. That's my first thing.
Sound advice here.
Yes.
All right. What else do we got? What else we got? I want to make you drink a little bit. I just had one. Where was it? Okay. This is great. What is the most useless piece of knowledge you know?
This is great. So squirrels, you're very familiar with them.
I do know a couple squirrels. Yeah.
A squirrel cannot die from falling. It would have to fall from, I think over the Empire State Building height to die. And it would only die from starvation.
That's amazing.
I know, it's because they don't, their terminal velocity wouldn't kill them. So fun engineering nerdy fact. I learned that from my buddy Lucas over the summer. It's the most useless piece of knowledge I own, 100%. But it's a funny one. It's a good icebreaker.
Trying to think about some useless shit that I know. Not that this is a question for me necessarily, but no, I know some dumb shit.
But like some of the stuff, some of the stuff you know about Marvel or movies or like writing, like I feel like that to some people is useless knowledge, but it's to us is so enjoyable.
Yeah, it's got to be some like nerdy Marvel thing, like. I'm totally
blanking. What about like the idea that a lot of Marvel characters like are alliteration, like Peter Parker, Dr. Doom. Bruce, exactly.
That's
Tony
that's
Stark. Oh wait.
Actually, here is the most useless piece of knowledge I know. This is great. So this is DC Comics, like Batman, Superman, the Justice League. So in the Injustice universe, within that universe, so the world in which Superman takes over and becomes this warmongering leader, the most useless thing I know is that in that universe, the most liked tweet of all time is Bruce Wayne saying three words, "I am Batman." That is the most useless piece of knowledge that I know.
It's a good one, though.
I do pride myself in knowing nothing. Ooh. Okay. Is it better to use shampoo as soap or soap as shampoo?
Okay. I actually do have an answer for this. I would say it is better to use shampoo as soap because you have body hair, at least I do, and like you could use it to like kind of wash it out. Soap on hair makes me grimace.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah,
let us know what you think, because I think shampoo on a body is better.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The idea of soap in your hair is just like, it's weird.
I wouldn't want to use it on my face, though. That's the only thing. But like on my body, 100%.
That's fair. I mean, like I've used shampoo in my beard before, but like it's a little different.
You blow dry it too?
Last question here. What animal most closely resembles your eating style?
All right. I think it would like, so I'd say I'm a pretty messy eater, and I just mean that because like I'll sometimes get stuff on me. Like other people are super neat. I would have to say something like, thought is an elephant, but I don't suck up stuff with my snout kind of, or my like long tusks and trunk. I'm going to say, I would say something, not like a polar bear, but something like a little bit not as like killery as that. Like
a cartoon polar bear. Like you're not going to kill
like a beta polar bear, you know? No, like, maybe honestly, like a dog.
Okay.
But like a civilized dog, you know?
Sure. Like you've been trained at least a little bit.
Yeah. Not like one of those wiener dogs, like one of those like a nice I don't know, like a British bulldog or something like that.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, like a pedigree. But
what
also,
I was
like,
gonna say is like if you ever like have left your dog for like a day, like you went on like a day trip or something, you haven't seen your dog, you haven't fed your dog all day, you come back, you pour his bowl full, and he like finishes it in like 10 seconds. That's me. I will just plow through anything. If you've ever had a meal with me, you understand how fast I can eat.
Yeah. Mine's it really does depend, but like usually I will just eat a ton. If I'm very stressed out though, I eat very slow and will have like no appetite, like most people. But
I think looking back on this episode, I think we should go back to the beginning and tell the people that they should just be drinking every time we reminisce, because they'll be feeling great by this point in the episode.
Oh, they'll be very buzzed and should probably like lie down for a bit.
Yeah. So anyone listening now, when you rewatch this episode, because I know you all will, you'll drink every time you reminisce, and that's the drinking game. That's the real one for you guys. But yeah, so should we get into, I guess, one more segment here about why we started this?
Yeah, we should absolutely get in and like kind of explain like why this came to be. As we alluded to before, Robbie's a big writer, and obviously very big into sports. Both him and I are. We have been for a number of years. Robbie is, I'm going to assume, pursuing at some point like sports writing, sports journalism, or at least a very degree, making it a hobby because it's something he's very passionate and interested in. So I took that, and this past year of COVID and all that, I had no idea what was going on. And, you know, being cooped up in the house, like I think you and I both took COVID fairly seriously for the most parts. At least to the point of like not doing unnecessary risks. So it was something that, you know, I ended up starting a master's program and did that and have just finished that up. Robbie was doing work and sort of as a way to like keep sane and also keep in touch, because Robbie and I, we talk to each other, but sometimes we sort of fade in and out because, you know, Robbie lives in Iowa, I live in PA, so it's a little bit far. Want to keep in touch, keep active, and sort of do something that we both had a passion for. So we decided on this. The name Gym Class All-Stars was something I thought of probably at like 1:30 in the morning and texted Robbie, and Robbie's like, why are you still awake? But okay.
But beat.
The idea, we both were rec athletes in high school and, you know, we're gym class all-stars in that sense, but we love sports. We watch it a ton and we have our own opinions in terms of how qualified I think those opinions are. That is up for debate. 100%. We've had some good takes. I think the LaMelo Ball ceiling of Steph Curry is a great take. There's been a ton of bad takes that I've had.
It's been a bad takes me. I mean, the Heat just got swept and I was like, the Heat are fine.
Yeah. But it's been something that we've kind of like, you know, done sort of as a passion project, something we very much enjoy. There's a lot of people like in the podcasting community that we've connected with. The Box Office QBs are a great example. There's a few other groups. There's just a bunch of people that we will talk to every now and again. We also came to realize the podcast community is like, just, it's a lot of like spam, honestly. Mm-hmm. And something we sort of distance ourselves. Like if you see our tweets, we'll get like 2 likes and retweets. And it's usually from us and like the all-star account and a few other people who like are people we genuinely connect with and like have loved. Our intern Koreans, another example of that. Ed Jennings, Box Off QBs are a great example of that. Great guys. So it's been one of those things that we've kind of done as a passion project. It's something that we very much enjoy. It's kept us sane. Sort of keeping that routine we've absolutely loved. And I don't know, I really enjoy doing it. We're, you know, closing in. We're over 700 listens, which I think is incredible for 40 episodes. You know, to me, it's been just an incredible journey. It's definitely something that's helped me as a public speaker and obviously with my sanity. And yeah, it's kind of what I have to say about it. You know, I think you've got some words too. I'm not just going to keep rambling.
No, I mean, like this isn't really fun. We kind of got, it was like a couple months into COVID. We hadn't talked in a little bit and we decided to just like have a Zoom call just to catch up. And we kind of came on this across this idea of that we both vaguely wanted to do something like this. And now that we both had the time, we were like, hey, let's see how well it goes. And, you know, it hit some bumps at first. The first interview we had, it was a little weird having to like post it and delete it a couple times. But we kind of hit our groove and it's been really, really fun because A, I get to just freely talk about my sports opinions with one of my best friends. And B, it seems that we have a generally decent following. I mean, like you said, like we're over 700 listens. That's fantastic, in my opinion, for what we could have accomplished. I'm really proud of that. But yeah, we thought we were charismatic enough people that we could kind of get this off the ground. And I think that's still true. But I also like doing this every once in a while, talking about, you know, some other stuff, proving that we are able to string together sentence after sentence, even if it's not about basketball or football. I do want to say that one more reminiscent story is how we chose our logo. We were talking about this before the show as a story to potentially talk about. So I think it was freshman year. We weren't in the same class, but we were both in Spanish honors. And so the concept was, it didn't matter if you did it with students in other classes, but you had to make a video, like a 5-minute video, just essentially. And there were like certain conjugations and verbs and stuff we had to throw in there, certain rules, but it was essentially just make a 5-minute video. And so me, Baker, and a couple other of our buddies, we come up with this video, and our concept of our video is how like what should we do for our video for our Spanish project. That was the concept of the video. So the whole movie is just like a 30-second snippet of everybody's idea of what we should do. Somebody suggests like the A-Team. Somebody suggests like an old Western movie or something like that. My suggestion is we should do a basketball movie. And the little clip that we show is me going up for a layup and Alex swatting me back. And so when we were coming up with a logo, that was the first thought in my mind. I was like, what if it's just like a guy in blue going up for a layup and a guy in red swatting him down? That's like the iconic image of the two of us playing basketball in my head. And it was really cool that it like actually came into fruition, and that's like all I see when I look at our logo. So really cool story that like something from our beginning has come back and become, you know, part of what we do now. It was just really cool.
Yeah, and you know, we've been doing it for, it's been, we started in August, so it's been 9 months, or well, I guess 10 now because it's June technically. But it's definitely been something that we've kept up with. We've done a great job. I think we've missed a few weeks. We missed last week, obviously, for both our birthdays and my graduations. But I think by the number of episodes, I think we've exceeded the maybe we're like one episode short of the number of weeks we've been around for. So to me, we've done pretty good. And if you want to hate on us, then, you know, go for it. I would love to hear some constructive criticism. But to me, it's been a very enjoyable time. And we'll definitely, if you want to see me in a Batman costume, we'll definitely post that video, because it's a Batman costume that fits like a 10-year-old. It's cringy, but it's pretty good.
Beautiful. Well, watch that as a prelude to Mr. Parkland, any of my buddies still listening.
Yeah. But to anyone listening, I think this is good for our first life episode.
First, hopefully a couple. This has been fun. We can do college life next. I know we touched upon college a little bit, but we kind of kept it mainly to our high school, because that's, you know, the most time that Alex and I have spent together. But
the dark years.
College
is a good time for both of us.
Depends what you qualify as college for me.
Yeah. So I think to anyone listening, if you have any questions for us or anything you want us to do next episode or want us to talk about, let us know. I'm more than happy to talk about them to a degree. Obviously, there's some filter there. But this was a good time, and I think we'll have to do it again.
I think so. This kind of like was a concept of a joke in my head when we first started. So I was like, one time we should just do a non-sports episode. I'm kind of glad we decided to do it. It's fun and gives the broader listener some more content that they aren't just listening to, but they're able to relate to and enjoy. So hope we were able to do that, for whether it's just some friends watching, new listener, first time listener, long time listener, parents. I know my mom still listens. So happy to have been able to do this. This was really fun. Getting a little drunk on the show. Not too bad either. We'll get like a long, like a full episode drinking game maybe next time, where it's just kind of like you as the listener can just like have a cue that tells you to drink rather than like us doing a drinking game. But it's a good start in my opinion. But yeah, we're really, really excited about what we've been able to do on this show and how much fun we've been having with it. We will be back with our regularly scheduled programming next week for another sports episode, recapping some NHL and NBA playoffs, baseball season, and if Julio Jones gets traded. But until then, I really do hope you guys enjoyed this. Just our little off the cuff reminiscing about our past lives and our future and all that fun stuff. But give us a shout out, follow us on the social medias. And again, we'll be back next week.
Take care, everyone.